Well, thank you for braving the parking lot craziness out there. And like Brian said, it's a beautiful day. And by the way, I met with one of the construction guys earlier this week on like Thursday. And I told him, I was like, so we have service coming on Sunday. We're good, right? He's like, I promise you, it'll be good. We'll all be done. Oh, thanks. That went well. You did not meet his promise. Oh, well, you guys all made it in. So imagine for a second that when a child or baby was born, that almost like a tooth fairy or something, but when they were born, an angel comes down, and next to the child in their bassinet or their crib or whatever they're sleeping in, he puts a little box. He lays it next to the baby, and in the box is that child who's going to be a young person, who's going to be an adult. It's the contents of their gifts, their skills, their abilities, the things that God gives them, the abilities that God gives them, that he equips them with, that he calls them to use for the rest of their life. He just puts that little box next to them. It made me think of Ursula from The Little Mermaid, had the little box here, you know. I was like, wow. But think for a second, right? So an angel comes down and puts the little box next to the baby, right? And the parents go in the next day, check on the baby, like, ooh, he got his box, right? And how in touch with our gifts and our talents and our abilities we would be. And what would we do in response? Like, we'd probably have like an unboxing party, you know, on MTV. There'd be like my sweet unboxing party, you know, and Drake would sing at the party, you know, because they're all spoiled. And when the person opens the box, like all of the gifts and talents and abilities that God gives them to use for the rest of their life are bestowed upon them, and they can now use these, right? How much more in touch with who God created them to be, we would be if it was that tangible, if it was that felt, if we knew that if we open this box, we'll experience those gifts. And you know, and you know, the Bible, it lists gifts at one point. It's not an exhaustive list, but it lists a bunch of gifts people can have that the Holy Spirit can give them, but it never tells us how to identify what our gifts are. It never goes through, these are the gifts, and if you want to know what your gifts are, follow these 10 easy steps. Take this online quiz and you'll figure out what your spiritual... It never goes through any of that. And so we find ourselves not tangibly knowing what our gifts are. I mean, I believe we had people first service who were talking about this afterwards, and they had never thought through the idea that God gave them gifts that they were then to use, return back to him. I love this clip we watched earlier. You guys know what movie that is, by the way? Anybody? Chariots of Fire. It's an oldie but a goodie. And in Chariots of Fire, it's this guy named Eric Little. And Eric Little was this guy who spent the majority of his life as a missionary in China. So much so that the conditions he lived in eventually ended his life early. Before he went to his mission work, he was an Olympic gold medal runner, which is pretty awesome. And before he went, though, he had to do the running because he felt like his gift, when this gift thing opened, and in it, it was the gifts and talents and abilities to go be a missionary. But as he says in the clip, God made me fast. How was my accent, by the way? Is it okay? I wish I had that on a t-shirt, God made me fast. It'd be a pretty awesome t-shirt. It wouldn't be accurate. It would be a complete lie, but I would still wear it because it's a pretty awesome slogan. And so not only that, he says, when I run, I feel God's pleasure. And when I win, it honors God. It's because when we think about the gifts and talents and abilities we have, that what we open up and what he gives us, it's not just sort of these ultra spiritual things. It's not just the things that you see on Sunday morning, like the awesome guitar playing you and the singing you see and whoever's up here talking. Like, it's not just these, but it's all of the gifts, all of the talents, all of the abilities. God says, I give you these and I want you to use them for my glory. Whether you are called and gifted to be a missionary in China, or he makes you fast, it's a gift God has given you. If you're following along today, I've got basically 2 points. The first one is the purpose of your gifts, and the second one is the plan for your gifts. But when it comes to your gifts, you don't have to use them here, but you do have to use them. God has given you gifts, and you can use them here, and I've seen people use them in amazing ways and been part of a local community, but you don't have to use them here, but you do have to use them. So turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you don't have a Bible or you don't want to follow along on your phone, they'll be up here on the screen. If you don't have a Bible at home or here anywhere, there's some on the shelf back here. If you would like one, take it with you. But in verse 4, it says this. It says, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. This is not part of the theme or message today. I just want to point it out that when the Bible does things in repetitious fashion, there's oftentimes a message that's getting across. And here it says the same Spirit is the source, the same Lord, and it says God works in different ways. It's this subtle appearance of the Holy Spirit, Jesus, and God the Father. And it doesn't come out and say these things, but it references them. But this last verse, this verse 7, it says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. And this right here, this verse 7 goes diametrically in opposition to human nature. Because what we have that makes us stand out, that makes us shine, that gives us our swag, whatever you want to use, like whatever that thing is, we love to use it for ourselves. I mean, this goes in opposition to the ethos and DNA of the American dream. I mean, the American dream says, use what you got, be strategic, accumulate nice things, and that's the goal, to get ahead. But when you get ahead, someone inherently is falling behind. And what he says here, he says, use your gifts for the betterment of others, for the glory of God. There's this movie called Wall Street. And in Wall Street, there's this character named, anybody know? Gordon Gekko. And Gordon Gekko in Wall Street says greed, for lack of a better word, is good. And his idea, his point, the kind of the point of the movie is that if he is doing his very best to use his gifts to get ahead, and this person over here is using their gifts to the best of their ability, they're aggressively trying to get ahead. And this person over here is aggressively trying to get ahead. Then what happens is we all push everyone, humanity, forward as we're all trying to climb tooth and over nail over other people for us to get ahead. And that message of that movie, it makes sense. Like it. To some degree, it resonates because that's human nature, that I'm going to use what I have to get ahead so that I can get past, accomplish more, be known, be seen as more based on my abilities. But this passage, as it so often does, Jesus calls us to live an upside down life. And he says a spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. This is the opposite of what our DNA wants us to do. I mean, it wants us to use what we got to get ahead for ourselves. You know, if you looked at what you got, if we really did have this box, if we had a box and this gift, and inside of it was our gifts and our talents and our abilities, we would have a pretty clear idea of what our gifts were. We'd also have a pretty clear idea of what our weaknesses were. You see, our gifts always have a shadow side to them. Our weaknesses always flow out of the strength that God, the gift that God has given us. You know, if you've spent much time in churches, you've probably known people who were comfortable being up in front of others, but it always kind of felt like it was about that person. Like they wanted to be seen, they wanted to, and really, like, it happens, and you see it, where someone who wants to be in front of people, like, it's a gift, but they use it to make themselves known and to have people like, wow, how gifted they are. And it's so common that we sort of get used to it. You know, I married someone who is great at the details and is organized and can juggle lots of things all at once, which is such a gift to me because that's the opposite of who I am. You know, I'm this really focused guy. But the shadow side of that gift is that you want to control things and you can feel overwhelmed. And every time that there is a strength in your life, the shadow side of that strength is a weakness. And so often what I've seen, and this is maybe anecdotal, but I think it falls in line with the character of God, that what happens is he asks us to use the gifts he's given us for his glory, to help others with it. And along the way, we use that strength for ourselves to get ahead, to use it to make our name ring out. And we, when we hit in our head against struggle, and maybe you're someone who feels like you can never quite get going on all cylinders and using your gifts and getting ahead, and it's always kind of a struggle. And maybe, just maybe, that's happening because you use your gifts for yourself, not for the betterment of others. And Jesus is trying to break you of that need. He says, in this upside down way, use that thing that you would use to get ahead for me. Because if you're willing to do that, if you're willing to give that gift that you would use to get ahead for him, you're willing to give him your whole life. And so he says, this thing, this gift, these abilities, these talents, these skills that I want to give you, and these things are the things that you will use throughout your life, use them for the betterment of others. That's the purpose of them. That's at its core, at its root, that's why he gives us gifts, so that we can use them for the betterment of others. The plan for our gifts is, if you keep reading in 1 Corinthians 12, in verse 17, it says this: if the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? By the way, that would look super weird. That made me think of the guy from Monsters, Inc., you know, Mike Wazowski. You know this guy? Anyway, if you don't, never mind. I have children. I watch children's movies all the time, so bear with me, all right? Anyway, or if the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? Which is a very good question. But our bodies have many parts, and God put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you, because it doesn't have a mouth. The head can't say to the feet that I don't need you. This reminds me of there's this passage, and there's another passage that talks in terms of bricks. You know, that we are one, we are parts of one larger whole. And the whole works together and fits together perfectly. And as we work together perfectly, as all the parts are functioning, as you use your gifts so that God's name rings out, and you use your gifts so for the betterment of others, then we as a body, as a community, all work best together. And so it made me think of, by the way, before I pull this off, anytime you use Jenga in front of people as part of an analogy, you just hope for the best. So let's see. Hopefully I don't knock the, if I knock the tower over, we're just gonna, you're just gonna bear with me, okay? All right. See, the good Lord gave me steady hands, apparently. And I use them for him. Okay. So what you have here is, you know, the Bible talks about parts of the body. The Bible talks about bricks and how Jesus was the cornerstone, and that the bricks go next to and on top of the cornerstone, and the bricks build a temple, and that God resides in the temple. It's this beautiful metaphor, and the body is the same thing. And that basically what happens is that this right here is as sturdy as it could possibly be, because every bit and piece of it, even though the different pieces are different colors, it's diverse, it's different, that every piece is where it's supposed to be. Now, as you begin to remove pieces, you can't tell at first. At first glance, you can't tell that it's slightly weaker because it's still standing there. By the way, after it, when it's like this, I'm gonna walk a little more gently on stage, because even like the vibrations, I don't want to knock it over. But as you begin to take bricks out, this one. All right, there's another. As these bricks come out, it still stands. It's still functioning as a tower. It's still working. But if I was going to bounce up and down on stage, if I was going to take more bricks out, it would gradually, over time, become less sturdy. It would still be a tower, but as I stack more on top, because this is how Jenga works. You pull one out, and you stack it on top. And as you do that, over time, eventually, it becomes less and less stable, because the people who are part of the whole are not fulfilling where they're supposed to be. You know, in every brick you have here, like, every brick has a story. I mean, maybe this person right here, they never realized that God gave them gifts so that they could turn around and give them back to God to serve others. And the thing is about this, I referenced this earlier, Because the Bible never tells us how to figure out what our gifts are. Because Jesus never works in formulas. There's never like a four steps to perfection or this or that. Because what Jesus fundamentally wants with you is a relationship. He wants to hear from you, for you to talk to him, for him to talk to back to you, and for you to hear him. He wants to relate with you. And so what happens is if he gave us a formula, we would follow the formula and we'd follow our gifts and we think we're good. But he doesn't want us to just use our gifts. He wants to discover our gifts through the confines of a relationship. 2 Timothy says it this way. 1:6a says, "This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you." You see, it's like I've got a fire pit in the back of my yard, and what happens is if you're lighting wood on fire in your fire pit, inevitably what you put some wood down and you put a match or a lighter to it, and you're trying to start this fire, and it never starts out as a fire, right? It starts out as a little glowing cherry of an ember. And when you get the wood just like caught a little bit, what do? You fan this glowing ember into flame. It doesn't start out as a flame. It doesn't start out that usable. It starts out as a glow. This is what happens, right? Like Jesus, when he walks with us, when he reveals our gifts to us, when we are in relationship with him, along the way, he gives us this little glowing ember of passion. Or this gift that he's given us, and he says, "You should be using this for the betterment of others, to make my name ring out, for my kingdom." And after we realize that, we fan it in the flame. And then after time, it grows into something that's usable. And so this person, maybe they never realized that it happens through relationship, and they're always waiting for the formula, and so they never realized that they should have used their gifts. And maybe this person here, like maybe what happened in their life is they went to college, and they got a good job, and they never stood back long enough to think about, why am I doing this? Am I part of a larger narrative? Is God trying to accomplish something here that I could be part of? And they kind of bought into the American dream a little bit. Now, in every single brick that you take out, I'm not going to take more out because I don't want it to fall. But every single brick that is not part of the whole, like there's a reason, there's a story, there's something behind it. But the fact of the matter is that they're not in place, they're not where they should be, and they could, if you put them back in place, the whole would be more sturdy. But it's not currently, because they're not in place, because they're not using their gifts as a whole. This is the body. This is us here. And when I talk about using your spiritual gifts, and you can use them here, and I've seen so many people use their gifts as part of a local community, and then over time, like God birthed something bigger in their heart or something different outside of the community. Like I didn't tell her or them that I was going to talk about them, but I got some friends over here, like Lorraine and Howard, and as long as I've known them, like they've never really been super, they've never been like the people greeting at the front door, but for as long as I've known them, they've been leading trips of people to Haiti because they have this gifting and calling in their life, and you don't have to use your gifts here, but you do have to use them. If you don't use them here, but you use them, I say, God bless you. It's not about using them here. It's about making sure that you use what God has gifted you. We're okay, right? So far, so good. Because so many people I've seen who got really involved in the local church, and God used that as a breeding ground for birthing something else in their heart. But if they never began the journey of fanning into flame the gift that God had given them, they never would have known the fire that was underneath in their heart, ready to be let loose to make a difference in the world. Because God gave you gifts for you to use them. You don't have to use them here, but you do have to use them. So Harbor, we as a community exist. 2 Corinthians 5 says it this way. This is actually the founding verse behind why Harbor exists. Harbor exists to help people find their way back to God. And this is how we got that. So we are Christ's ambassadors. Basically what we mean is people can't see God walking around on the planet Earth, but he can see us. And it's a kind of a crazy plan. Like, I don't know really, if I was in the strategic meeting with Jesus, I'd be like, are you sure you want to use humans for your grand glorious plan? Can I push back on that, Jesus? No. Because I know us, right? We are so distractible, right? And we are so imperfect. But he's like, yes, like I want to use humans. Are you sure? Okay, right? So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ. Come on now. Like when we speak on behalf of God, he says that we are speaking for Christ. We are the mouth of Jesus on this earth. If that doesn't humble you and make you feel alive, nothing on earth can. When we plead, come back to God. So part of the sort of core DNA of who Harbor is you all using your gifts. God has gifted you and allowing you to use them. And beyond that, another bit of who Harbor is we want to be not just a community here, but a community of communities. So there's this sociologist whose last name is Dunbar, and he started the Dunbar number. And the Dunbar number is basically the number 150. And what he says is any person or organization has about 150 people that they can maintain relationships with. So if you see someone walking down the aisle at the grocery store or at Starbucks or in the library, there's about 150 people who you would stop and talk with. Everyone past that, you might see them and forget their name and hope they don't see you, right? You know? But about 150 people, you're like, oh, Cheryl, it's lovely to see you. How's little Susie, right? But 150 people, but the same thing works for organizations. But 150 people in any organization feel ownership, like their voice matters, like they have influence, like they're an owner. And that's if the leader of that organization is a perfect leader and none of us are. And any given Sunday, there's like, I don't know, 400 of us here who come to Harbor on a Sunday, maybe more, you know, 450, whatever that number is. I'm not really sure. I don't look at the numbers too much. But that number is higher than 150, meaning that we inherently have a system that works against everyone who comes feeling like an owner. So part of our DNA as a community is not just be one location, but to start a second location so that we have 150 owners here, there's 150 owners here, and everyone gets to use their gifts to their fullest. And there's more people who use them outside of the church, and this is how it works. And so what happens is if, let's say, by the way, I crunched some numbers this week, and there's 140 volunteer spots at Harbor. So if all of our volunteer teams were fully staffed, 140 people is what it takes volunteering to pull off Harbor to its best. There's 111 volunteers. That's a lot. That's a pretty good number, right? But there's 56 blocks in a Jenga. So to have the 111 to 140 ratio, I'd have to pull out 12 Jenga blocks. If you pull out 12 Jenga blocks, it's wobbly. Now, we were playing Jenga the other day with my family, and we never got to 12. That might be because I've got a three-year-old, but, you know, whatever. And so we would pull out a block, and we put it on top, and the most we got to was 9. And so to pull out, to make it the equivalent of where we're at, like, we would have to pull out 12 blocks. At that point, it'd be very wobbly. Now, we feel called because we want to help people find their way back to God. We want people to have and know and use their gifts. To not just be one community, but be a community of communities. To start as another campus that serves Lowell. Now imagine there's 12 blocks missing here. And we try to put this on top. What would happen? What would happen? It would fall over. Now, it's currently standing. And honestly, like if it was just me, I could probably pull 12 blocks out and we could make it work and it could sort of be the picture. But even if I got successfully 12 blocks out, I couldn't put another one on top because it's not sturdy enough. It's not strong enough. The bricks aren't in their place. See, God gifted you so you could serve and help others. And you don't have to use that gift here. But he calls on you to use it. And so I ask you, how has God gifted you? How has God called you? And have you fanned into flame the gifts that he has given to you? You know, if as we put our pieces back in, and this is where it's going to be challenging, right? We're going to put our pieces in, and we'll be fully staffed, and everyone will be in place. Uh-oh. Let's see what we can do here. Right? as we are fully in place, how God would have us to be? We are stronger than we would have been otherwise. And we can do things we wouldn't have been capable of doing otherwise. And we are able to do what we didn't think was possible just a short time before. So this young man, who I'm going to tell a story about, who doesn't know I'm talking about him, but he's here today. And he's here every week. And every week he's here both services. And he sits at the back. His name is Stevie. And if we asked Stevie to greet at the front door, it would make him nervous and he couldn't do it. Because that's not his gift. And if we asked him to, I don't know, greet people at the cafe and make them feel welcome and make them coffee and chat with them, it would make him nervous because it's not his gift. It's not where he's gifted at. But what Stevie does, you see, a child got out of their classroom, and if they ran this way, we'd probably catch them because they're greeters and whatnot. But they ran backwards. And backwards is lots more mill building. And they got out the back doors, and they got up, and they were playing in the mills, and there was a parent who was concerned because this kid got out because no one was guarding the back door. Also, if you've noticed, like there's lots of steps to our front door. And if you have a hard time with steps because you know, you're not strong enough for them or you're in a wheelchair, then the steps are hard. Then we say, oh, come to this other back door. And very few people do it. Almost no one does it. But it's there. If you wanted to, you could do it. And so what Stevie does every week is he sits at the back. He's back there right now doing exactly this. Are you ready? Making sure your children, if you have a child back there, is safe. And if you've gone here for years and you've never noticed, that makes sense. Because he just faithfully does what he can in the body. And he's here every week, both services, just sitting at the back door. And if someone comes to the back door and they never do, he'll greet them and give them a program. And he doesn't let children pass. And your children are safer because he's there. And if I didn't mention him, you would just never know it. And he couldn't do these other things. Like if we asked him to, it would. He just couldn't do it. But he can do that. And so it says not that Stevie is so great. I mean, Stevie is great. But it's not because Stevie is great, but it's because a great God has gifted Stevie. And in ways that he can be faithful in response to. Every gift is not the big and grand and glorious. And every gift is not the one where you get accolades all the time. But every gift is from God. And every gift is to be used for the betterment of others. And so I appreciate Stevie. By the way, he doesn't know I'm talking about him. He does now. Someone told him at the first service. He was like, so, someone told me. And I was like, yeah, Stevie, we're buds. Pow, pow. All right. It's easy to be the one using your gift up front and be faithful. It's not as easy to be the one using your gift week after week, hour after hour, that no one notices. But if it's from God, this is grand and it's glorious and it's beautiful and it honors him. There's a story, I didn't tell it in last service, but it's written by C.S. Lewis. And it's someone who just got to heaven, and Michael, the angel, is walking them around heaven and showing them around. He's like, this is who's over here, and this is where we keep this stuff, and this is Moses' house, you know, and they're walking them around. And they hear, and off in the distance, they hear trumpets, you know, and there's like a whole parade going by, and there's the people, our symbols are going in front of, and you're like, oh my goodness, wait, you're lucky. One of the greats is about to walk by. And the person who's new to the neighborhood is like, ooh, who is it? Is it this famous person? Is it this famous person? Is it this famous person? And they're like, no, you don't understand. Like this person who's walking by, they were a chimney sweep. But every time they swept a chimney, they did it for the glory of God. And they always told the truth, and their business practices were always honest, and they never said they did a job and didn't do it. They were just faithful their entire life, and no one noticed them, and they were just faithful. But in heaven, They're one of the all-time greats because Jesus' value system is always ours upside down. And so today, you don't have to use your gifts here, but I do ask you to use them. And so if you are someone who would say, you know, I've never gotten engaged in this way, I've never used my gifts in this way, there are cards and pins like around you on the floor in the chair next to you, like you can fill that out, put your name, put in the offering box here or the one right here, and we will contact you. My friend Sharon will contact you this week. If you're an introvert and you don't want to go talk to someone, that's a good option. Out here at the table, my friends Cricket and Sharon are ready to receive you. There's like a gong there. I thought it'd be pretty fun. Like if you sign up to volunteer, you ring the gong. And in between services, people are like ringing the gong and we're like, woo, yeah, celebration. You know, it's kind of, it's what it is. It's kind of more like if we had the boxes and we opened them and we celebrated that. We're kind of doing that. We're like, you have gifts. Let's celebrate them, right? So if you give them the card, you say, yes, I want to use my gifts, put my brick back in the hole. Then you ring the gong and we'll celebrate and we'll clap for you because you are acting as God created you to. So after this, you know, we're going to have a few moments where you can sort of be to yourself and think through how God has gifted you after we close in prayer. And if you want to, man, if you want to get involved, if you want to serve, you can put a card either in the box or give it to my friends and we'll contact you and we'll get you plugged in and you will begin to use the gifts God gave you. If you're someone who is using your gifts here at church and you feel like God has given you a passion for something outside of that, then you had better stop volunteering here and go do that. Because God gave you that gift. It's not about everyone come here and serve here. It's about Harbor. It's about God gave you gifts. You don't have to use them here, but you do have to use them. Why don't we close in prayer? God, we stand so grateful and appreciative for what you do for us and in us. And the fact that you would have us be your ambassadors, that you would choose, that your grand and glorious plan for this planet is through us. This is crazy, but it's so beautiful. And so, God, we ask you to, as people are sort of thinking through how God has gifted them, how they can plug into the narrative that you're trying to tell on this earth, God, be with them, reveal to them. I mean, there's a very good chance if people are not being used by you right now, that they've been feeling this pull in their heart for a long time and never had the word to articulate it. So as people are here before you now, God, we just ask that you would reveal to them what was in their little gift box, who you've created them to be, how you've created them to give back, how you've created them to love and to serve others, how you've called all of us, and them specifically, to use their gifts for the betterment of others. God, you create us as people fundamentally to serve, to love, to give. And when we don't serve and love and give, it's like a cancer in our heart. We become self-centered, self-involved. Free us from that cancer. Give us the strength and the clarity to be used and serve you in the way that you've made us to. Give us the ability to put those bricks back into the hole so that the whole body is stronger. God, we love you. We thank you. We are moved by you. In your name, amen.